Being a disciple is a surrendered life lived in service to Jesus and for His kingdom. So we were locked into a situation by Adam whenever he disobeyed, and God's presence and His Spirit was removed. Now, it doesn't mean that he didn't have conversations with God. He did. But he was not inhabited by God. And that's because it differentiates, he says. And then whenever Seth was born, it said that he was after the flesh. He was born after the flesh. So every man after that, including women also, the seed was tainted. And it was separated from God. And the only way that we could live our lives was through our spirit, soul, and body. The spirit was dead. Anything without God is dead. And so we could only use this peanut brain up here, I'm going to say to myself. That's the only way that we had to relate not only to the world around us, but also to the spirit realm. And in the spirit realm, that's a whole different kingdom. And God is the kingdom, king of the kingdom. And so without a connection there, then we become a victim to the spirit world. We can become a victim. But Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And that means the connection was reconnected between us and God in the spirit realm, the kingdom of God, and that we became adopted. We became sons of the Most High God. And He, through Jesus Christ, had placed in us His Spirit. And as a result, we had that connection again, that we were actually members and citizens of a kingdom that is a spiritual kingdom, a heavenly kingdom. We right now, as Christians, have a seat in heaven at the right hand of the Father in Jesus Christ. That's how much He loves us. He gave us a seat at His table, so to speak, to rule the universes, and I say plural, because we don't know everything about the universe. We don't know everything about a lot of things. But that's okay. God knows it all. And He's our daddy. And if He sees fit, whenever we ask Him, He can tell us. And so there's so many things that we only have just a minute understanding of. But God knows everything. And He can open up everything to us. And that's called revelation. Whenever you hear or see something in the spirit realm, that's revelation. It's just like the scripture. You can read it as a book, just like you would a textbook. And you can get a lot out of it. You know, I read a number of things when I was in college, and I hated reading. And I didn't do real well in English because I didn't like to do the creative writing. And I looked at everything as a manual, an instruction manual. And so all this frivolous words, you know, the flowery thing, you know, says that the man came up to the entrance to the home. It was of this, that, and the other. It had brick and it had these flowers and this, that, and the other. He just came to the door, period. Why do you have to flower it all up? And so I got graded down for it because I wouldn't put all these adjectives in there that described everything more abundantly than what I had. But I learned a little bit there. But the thing is, I was just one of those type people that get to the point. You know, why do you have to put all these things in here that I don't need to read anyway? It just takes up, makes the book more expensive. But whenever you look at the Bible, every jot and every tittle has meaning in the Bible. There's no fluff in it. God means what He says and says what He means. And He, through men, gave that. And it was written according to Him. And so it's inspired by God. Now, can the printers make mistakes? Sure. But the thing is, God never intended for the Bible itself as a whole, because He saw us before the beginning of the world. He intended us for us to read it as spirit beings, because the Word is spirit and it's life. There are natural meanings, of course, and that's why some people that claim to be doctorate holding people that have graduated, that have masters and doctorates in theology and things of that nature, claim to have a real understanding of the Word. But until they have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, they don't have the spiritual recognition of what the Bible is really about. So we have an opportunity as being Christians to actually read the Scriptures with the understanding in the spirit realm. And that's what the Holy Spirit has been given to us to do. He's not only our teacher, but He's our interpreter. I don't know if you've ever thought about it in that sense. But interpreting the Word, because that's why Jesus said that He spoke in parables, because they could only be known what it meant whenever a person came to the Lord. And that's the way it is today. It needs to be interpreted by the Holy Spirit. That's why one of the reasons, I'll say, that He's given His Holy Spirit a helper to come. And He says, without the Spirit, you really won't get it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "And I, brethren," in verse 1, "when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." And then it compares about men and how they look at things, and then how God sees within the truth, because He is the truth. He has the truth. And there's nothing in Him that is hidden from us as believers. He has revealed all things to us. But we need to go to Him and ask Him. He doesn't push anything down our throats, so to speak, like some professors have. So, whenever you talk about discipleship versus being born again, so to speak, I call those converts. A person that has experienced Christ, and it's a real transformation that took place in the spirit of that person, that God came to dwell inside of that person. And they became our brothers and sisters, so to speak, in Christ. And Christ even said that He calls us brothers, and He's not ashamed to call us that. And this may sound sacrilegious to some people if you hear this, but He said He's made us just like Christ to Him, because Christ lives in us. And when He looks at us, He looks at us spirit to spirit, and He sees Christ in us. Just as pure, just as holy as Jesus is. And that about blew me away the first time I ever saw that. Read John 17. Read it through. And open your heart to see how much God really loves us and how He views us. And the relationship that He's allowed us to have with Him. To come and sit on His lap and call Him Abba Father, because He loves us unconditionally. Even after we've done something stupid, we can run to Him and not away from Him. I mean, He knows what's going on. He knows everything about us. He knows all our secrets, everything that we try to hide from other people. He knows it all. He knows our history. And He loves us. In spite of that, there's nothing that we can do to ever earn His affection. He has given it freely by grace. But He loves us enough that He has made a way that we don't stay that way of converts. He loves us so that we can become just like Jesus on this earth. That's not heresy, what I just said. In 1 John, as He is, so are we in this world. And He's talking about in the Spirit. But God just does not want to leave us that way, because we're human beings. We're three-part beings, spirit, soul, and body. So He says the other part of us, the soul and the body, need to be transformed also. Our spirit got changed instantaneously whenever we received Jesus Christ as our Savior. So that part has already been transformed. But He's saying, as you see in the Word, it's a mirror and it reflects back to who you really are. The Word is our mirror that we look into and see who we are in Christ Jesus. That new creation that's in here in our spirit man, He wants it to be transformed in our bodies and our mind, will, emotions, our personality. That's called the soul. So, a disciple is one that delves into the Bible in order to see who they really are, what they have, and what they can do in Christ Jesus. And so one of the first scriptures that comes to mind, and it's in here in the introduction, is Romans 12:1. And then it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. Have you ever thought about what a living sacrifice is? All the sacrifices I've ever read about were dead. But a living sacrifice is different. Because it can crawl off the altar. He's given us free will. And He's not demanding us to be a servant to Him. He's asked us as sons of His to come and enjoy what I've given you. And He's given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness in Christ Jesus. So we have a life, even here on this earth, where we have an adversary, and the king of them was the devil and demons that hate us. And just being upfront about it. They wanted to be like God. And they got cast out of heaven. And they're here in this atmosphere. But the thing about it, though, is Christ has given us authority, spiritual authority, and power to dominate them. We may get tempted. We may have distractions. But we've been given authority to overcome those things. We may be tempted with health issues. And it's demonically inspired. A lot of them. Some of them are called spirits of infirmity. But we've been given the victory over that in Christ Jesus. By Jesus' stripes, you were healed 2,000 years ago. Well, how can that be? I got this symptom, I got that symptom. Well, it's a symptom. It doesn't mean that you have it. Now, don't get me wrong. I want you to understand. Doctors are people that I appreciate, and I've been to them, and they have helped me, and I appreciate it. But the thing about it is, they don't heal anybody. No medication that's out there that I know of actually heals people. God is the healer in Christ Jesus. It may mask symptoms, and they may cut out things that don't belong there in their body, and that supposedly heals people, but Jesus is the healer. So I'm saying they do help as much as they can, but they're limited because it's in the natural that they're dealing with, not the supernatural, not the spirit realm. But I had a doctor to tell me that what I went through with the temptations, with the symptoms, that he was amazed that I made it to the emergency room alive, because I should have died with that symptom twice, and then other symptoms later in the hospital. I shouldn't be here. Praise God, because God is more powerful than any symptom. He's already defeated the devil. You know that that was the first ministry that Jesus did after He got baptized with the Holy Spirit, when He came up out of the water of being baptized by John the Baptist? The Spirit, like a dove, came and lit upon Him and remained. In the Old Covenant, the Holy Spirit would come upon people for a specific purpose and then would leave whenever that purpose was completed. That's why David prayed, "Lord, don't take Your Spirit from me." But we've been given the Holy Spirit whenever we ask to be baptized, to have everything that God has sent Jesus to earn for us. He said, "If I don't go back to the Father, He won't be able to send the Holy Spirit to me, and I need to go back, so I won't be with you anymore. But He's going to send a helper, one that's going to be a comforter to you and be with you always. He's the Spirit of truth. He is the one who's going to give you power to live the Christian life successfully, not in subject to demons and the devil himself, but to rule and reign on this earth. Not to be a bunch of wimps, but to rule and reign over all the evil here on this earth. He's given us that. So we already have the victory. We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory, the victory that Christ gave us. And this is the way we do it, is we be transformed first off in our spirit man by receiving Christ as our Savior. But secondly, we become a living sacrifice. What does that mean? What does that mean, a living sacrifice? I believe part of it is that the way we have lived up until the point whenever we received Jesus as our Savior, that we've lived a certain way, we have certain programming where we've always done it this way. Yeah, well, my logic says this is how we approach this problem. I've been taught that in school multiple times. This is how you do this. But then whenever we read the scriptures, it says something a little bit different. Well, I just don't understand that. That just doesn't make any sense. But after we're born again, we see things with spiritual eyes by the Holy Spirit. And we can say, oh, that's why He said it this way. This is truth. We get revelation. We hear from the Holy Spirit. That's a rhema word. We all receive words from God. My sheep do hear my voice, is what the Word says. We all have that ability. All mankind actually can hear and see God's creation. And they have a sense that there's something bigger than me. There is a creator out there that I don't know. I don't know how these things could have existed. So He's drawing every person to Himself. And I've talked with some people who are from the Middle East, and they've actually been approached by Jesus in the Spirit. And He's told them, there is a better way than what you're doing right now. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And they bowed their knee to Jesus. And they've escaped from Iran and taken refuge over in Turkey. We met them in Turkey. They had worshipped another god all their life and thought he was Allah, who is the God. He was another God, but not the God. Our God, Jehovah, there's a lot of different names throughout the Bible that He's given. But He is the God of all, the only true God. That's who we're called to worship, the only true God. And Jesus Christ, whom we sent, we have been given the ability in John 17:3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That is why we got born again. Not just to come and quote unquote go to a worship service every Sunday, show up. I'm going to say this, pay our tithes and give offerings. That's all part of worship. You're not paying. You're just giving back part of what God has already given to you. You're worshiping Him and you're honoring Him by that. We owe Him everything. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Him. we wouldn't have life and have it more abundantly. So this verse here opens up the thing as far as the living sacrifice. We need to just stay on the altar. What I mean by that is we're replacing this up here that we've lived our entire lives with and live now from our spirit. Sure, we have to get along in this world, so this is useful. But this is where we live from now, not this. Not the head, not the soulish part of us. And that's what discipleship is. That's how you get started. Take ourselves off the throne and place Jesus on the throne. He is our Lord. And that's what Savior means, that we've been born again. But Lord means He's Lord. He's on the throne, not us. So as we go through life, do we stay in communion with Him? That's why it says, pray without ceasing. That actually means that we're in communion with Him 24/7, 365. Even whenever we're drinking, we can be in communion with Him. We can have day visions, we can have night visions instead of nightmares. We can have everything that He has for us. It's all available. We have access to it through Jesus Christ. And so, the discipleship process in Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So the life that we live here, we've surrendered it to God through Jesus. And we become living sacrifices. And we no longer live for ourselves. We live for Him. We've been bought with a price, so to speak. The price of Jesus' life. He paid for it. And that relationship is because of His love. He's not a dictator. He never will be. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, the person who has given their life to Christ literally means you have given your life. And He's received you as His son, even the women. Because sons in the Bible mean that you have the relationship and authority just as the Father does. You have power, and His power. You have His authority to live life victorious over every situation that you go through. Because the one who is your master, who is your Lord, who is your King, He knows the end from the beginning. He sees everything. He has no limitations. And He knows what's best for you. So He can instruct you as to turn right, turn left, go this way, go that way. This is a person that you need to talk to. This is what you should say in this situation. Staying in direct contact with Him all the time is going to lead us and guide us, because He's leading and guiding into all truth and showing us things to come through His Spirit. So we have become supernatural superheroes, if that's which way you want to call it. We see that on TV all the time. Everybody likes the superheroes because they're the good guys and they win all the time. We have the superhero who lives in us as Christians. We have a supernatural life that we can live here on this natural world. That's who He's given to us in Christ. So He's saying that in the instruction here, He says, life is hard without Jesus. It can be equally hard if you are a Christian and you don't have Jesus on the throne. You have to live by faith and not by sight. Of course, that talks about in 2 Corinthians 4:18 about look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Whenever you make yourself a living sacrifice, you let Jesus take control of your life. So it's all about how you're going to live this life that we have here on this earth now. Is it all about you? Me, my, and I? And I'm saying this to me too, because I need to be reminded of it. Am I consulting the Lord in a decision that I'm making? Or am I just winging it? Am I out there from past experience, and this is how I've always done it, and this is the logical thing to do? And I can raise both hands on that. I've done that. And the only thing it's done is caused me misery. Things didn't turn out the way that I thought they would. But whenever I consult the Lord first before I make decisions, even small decisions, being in tune with Him, praying without ceasing, that's communion with God. That's what discipleship is. You're surrendered to Him, and He's on the throne, and you live your life accordingly. Have I messed up? Sure. Yes. But I've repented. God has already forgiven me. But that closes the door to inroads into my life by the evil spirit realm. God loves me and has already given me everything that I'll ever need in Christ Jesus. He is everything. And so as we go through this life, every single person has a purpose in this world. And in Hebrews 12, it says, let people run their race. We can either run the race with this between our ears, or we can run the race with our spirit man guiding us, giving us instructions of how to do it, where to do it, who to do it with. Or we can try to figure things out in the mind. We've always done it that way. This is what I was taught by so-and-so. They're very successful. Well, you're not like everybody else. You're an individual. You're unique. God has His relationship with you. He may tell you to do things differently than you've seen other people do it. And that's because that's your race that He's called you to run. And He's given you specific instructions of how to run it successfully. Each person, whenever they are surrendered to the Lord, make Him on the throne of their lives to live through them in victory, they will be successful in everything that they place their hand to, just like the Bible says. The only question is, are you willing to submit yourself to the Word and to His leadership in being discipled by Him? He's the one that actually disciples. A person can help and assist and come alongside, but no one can take the place of our helper, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes alongside the helper and He reveals it to you, revelation. He speaks to you. He gives you the true meaning of some things that you had questions about. And He shows you, reveals to it. It means it peels back layers and shows you things that you haven't seen before. And He'll reveal new, fresh revelation of what some scriptures that you thought you had the full revelation of in the past. And He loves doing it. He loves for you to just talk to Him and spend time with Him. That's what salvation enables us to do, to have eternal life, that we might know the only true God in Jesus Christ whom He has sent, John 17:3. That's what real eternal life means. Knowing Him. Not just knowing about Him. And that's not why we look at the Bible. It's not to know about Him so we can take a test. It's actual intimacy with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are one God, manifested in three different ways. So we have all we need to be successful in every area of life, including in the natural world. They define success differently in the natural world, but that's okay. They don't know any better. But our job as ambassadors for Christ, we can go and share it with them. We have the ministry of reconciliation. We can help them to know how God loves them and invite them to come into the kingdom and be transformed like we have been and have a life that's full of joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Thank You, Father, that You've given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness in Christ. Right now, each person in this room, each person here is blessed, highly favored, deeply loved by You, that we've been given victory, and we shall not bow the knee to any symptoms or distractions in our lives from this day forward, but we will operate only as You give us direction. We thank You, Father, that we shall be just like Jesus is here on this earth. Because we love You, we praise You, and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.